I was talking to the Lord, and I wanted to speak on some profound verses, because I think there's verses in the Bible that just mean so much, like, you know, as he is, so are we in this world. You know, and you think of Jesus as he is right now, and it says, so are we in this world. That's pretty profound. A lot to talk about there. So I was talking to the Lord about it. I was like, give me some verses. And I didn't like what he was giving me. So I kept asking for verses, and he kept giving me the same thing, and I thought, this doesn't really work, because I can't speak on this. But I'm going to speak on this. So thank God I have a job, because this all came to me at my place of work. And I since I'm an owner, I don't have a boss, so I can do this stuff, because the download came then, so I took advantage of it then. So I'm going to clue you in on what we're talking about, and then we'll pray. I'm going to be talking about the hope we have in Jesus, which I think is ironic how songs work out, but particularly here is the verse that I know the Lord gave me for today, and you need to get some revelation of this. John 11:35, Jesus wept. And I thought, what's profound about that, God? You're really going to have to clue me in, because that's a two-word sermon. Jesus wept, bless you, let's all go home. But I think he gave me more. I think he said, you know, look at the context of what's going on here, and here's what I've done in those two words. So Heavenly Father, I trust you. And I trust you with the lives of all those that are hearing this today, that you will do and accomplish in their lives what you want to do and accomplish in their lives through your word. And that's a wonderful thing. And I just ask that you would be glorified and receive honor through your word in the lives of these people. In Jesus' name, amen. So John 11:35, Jesus wept. Honestly, for me, the whole essence of this message is hope. We have hope because Jesus wept. And you say, how does that give me hope? Well, let's set the story so we have the context of the message. It's the story of Lazarus becoming sick. Now, if I read the whole thing and I debated this, it's like 40-some verses long. And everybody knows that I read rather slowly because I like to jump in and put my own little paraphrase on everything that's being said. So I'm going to try to just paraphrase and throw in verses as much as possible. I am not promising on being short. And that's a rarity with me. I try to honor time. I believe we need to catch something here today. And time shouldn't be a factor. So, we have this battle in life, and I do know, each and every one of us have this battle, and we go through it all the time, and it's a battle of perspective, and it, depending on what perspective we function from or function in, determines a lot of where we go and do and what path we take and all those things. And we battle these things. We battle the natural versus the supernatural. We battle the earthly versus the heavenly. We all like to say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, but few of us walk there. We have this battle. It's much easier to accept here. We battle the physical versus the spiritual. A lot of us like to say the spiritual rules over the physical until we feel bad, and then we wallow in how we feel. It's a battle. We like to claim, well, I'm sick. Well, if I'm in Christ, he's not sick. So what's truth? It's a battle. Do you understand what I'm saying? We battle the temporal versus the eternal. See, when we accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, he did something. It's called a new creation. We are no longer natural. We are no longer earthly. We are no longer physical. We are no longer temporal. We are supernatural. We are heavenly. We are spiritual beings. And we are eternal beings. So Lazarus was a man that Jesus knew. His sisters were Mary and Martha. He was sick. So in verse 3, walking through John 11, by the way, says, so the sister sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. Okay, he was physically ill. This word they used, the messengers, is phileo. So understand what they're saying. Hey, your friend is sick, is what they're saying. But see, they misunderstood the depth of Jesus in relationship. One thing I want you to understand is Jesus understands relationship. Jesus understands everything you will ever deal with in a relationship. I'm telling you, there's hope in Jesus because he understands a lot more than you give him credit for. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory so that God's Son may be glorified through it. See, Jesus immediately brought heaven's perspective to this. I don't care what's going on. I know God's plans. Okay? And what did he do? He prophesied life by faith. He prophesied he's not going to die. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. That love is agapeo, agape. See, they didn't understand the depth of his affection towards them. See, phileo is more of a head love. Oh, I recognize Tammy. You know, she's a friend. It's a head thing. I can not see Tammy the rest of the week and see her sitting here next Sunday and maybe not even get a chance to say hi, but I had this friendship towards her. Jesus had something way more. See, agapeo comes from the depth of the heart. Oh, I long to see Tammy. Oh, just be able to say good morning, ask how her week went. Just so I can feel connected with her and everything that she did, even though I didn't get to spend time with her. It's so much more deep. See, he understood something that we don't even understand, the depth of affection in our heart. See, only God knows the heart of man. We don't even know our own. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to the disciples, let's go back to Judea. Now, you can say, well, yeah, he knew what was going to go on. But I think you'll see there's so much more to it. I know this. I get really perturbed. When, like, right before it's time to go to church, my wife will say, oh, by the way, this is broke. Okay? It's not that it's broke. It's when I want to take care of stuff now. I don't want to think about it for another second. I want it taken care of. I want to get fixed. My apprehension goes up. I the nerve service, it needs to get fixed now. But yet I gotta leave. Men don't wait 2 more days when something needs to get fixed. Something's going on. Much. Do you understand faith? No, you have to understand the struggle that Jesus faced right here. When something needs fixed, a man fixes it. Why? Because that's how God made him. I didn't say he fixes it well. You know, sometimes a woman has to call somebody to help. But men, you know, they got to die. Staying to where, you do understand the faith it took to not rise up and take care of the circumstance right then? Do you understand how much Jesus was displaying he's functioning in this earth as man? We all like to say, yeah, but he was God. No, he's not God here. He's not functioning as God here. He's functioning as you and I function here. For him to not want to run there and take care of it right then is a battle of perspective. He is functioning fully in his hope and what God's doing and about to do. After he said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up. See, again, Jesus is prophesying life, and the disciples don't even get it. They think he went to sleep, so, oh, yeah, he's going to just, when he wakes up, he'll be better. So then later he goes on and tells them, duh, you guys, what don't you get? He's dead. Okay, their perspective, they missed it all. And I'm telling you, in our struggles, a lot of times, we miss it all. We miss what God wants to do in the midst of our circumstances because we look at it from the wrong perspective, from the natural, from the physical, from the temporal. We're called to live in eternity now. We're called to think eternal now. You know, we sang a song, Our Living Hope. He's broken every chain. And I tell people, you know, get over it, walk free. I'm saying don't pick up something you've been set free from. You guys got to understand what he's demonstrating us to by showing us he was a man. That constantly in every one of these things is battling a perspective. You know, when he was led into the wilderness and tempted of the devil, he was battling a perspective. The devil quoted scripture. Scripture is truth. The devil used it out of context. Jesus answered in scripture and truth. It was a battle of perspective. Because he could have said, yeah, that scripture's true. And went the way of the world. He did it as a man. He understands exactly how you feel. He understands exactly how you see things. He understands the battle of perspective. When Martha, verse 20, heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now you will give, God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. So again, Jesus is speaking life. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection. And Jesus says something really cool. I am the resurrection and life. Now, Mary, Martha, all them, you'll see in the story, they're not understanding what's happening. Okay? Jesus understood who he was. Jesus understood what the will of the Father was. Jesus brings heaven's perspective to this earthly circumstance. The supernatural is greater than the natural. The spiritual is greater than the physical, and the eternal is greater than the temporal. All that mattered in this circumstance was he was there. But yet the first thing she said was, if you'd have been here, life was present. Life had arrived. He is the resurrection. Death has no victory anymore. The proper response would have been to recognize that life came. My circumstances now changed. So Mary goes and gets, or Martha goes and gets Mary. And when Mary reached the place, what verse is it? 32? Yep. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also were weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. And I thought, oh, see? He's showing compassion. He's bothered. He feels sorry for them. He's related to them. No, he was pissed off. Can you say that in church? Okay, good. The words was embrimai. It means angered. And the troubled word is terasso, to stir or to agitate. He was not happy with their response. He was angered because he was present and all they saw was the circumstance. You know, sometimes we come to church and we're heavy laden and we have needs and our minds preoccupied, and I think we see the circumstance instead of where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst. He's present. Life was present and all they saw was death. So when he says, "Where have you laid them?" he asks and comes in. You know, it wasn't the nice way I would have thought he'd say, "Oh, you know, okay, where did you put them?" It's almost like, "I'm tired of you, faithless generation. I'm here. You should be excited that life's here. Knowing what I've already said, your brother's going to rise again. Where is he? Let's get this done with so we can get onto it and you can see the glory of God." But then, verse 35 says, Jesus wept. And what's so significant about this? In the context of the whole story, remember, we're talking about a battle of perspective. Jesus, in his love for Lazarus, let go of what was about to happen and recognize the pain you feel, the hurt you feel, the loss you feel, the gaping hole in his heart that the physical presence of his friend was no longer there. And the word used there actually means to shed a tear quietly. He wasn't weeping. He didn't break down crying. He didn't beat his chest. He felt the weight of loss, as we often do in life's circumstances. Every one of us will go through these times where we feel just the weight of the world upon our shoulders. And sometimes it sleeps into the weight upon our heart. He understands. He's experienced that weight. He knows exactly what you're going through. He can relate to it. Because he can, you have hope in that circumstance. The word is dakuru. The humanity of Jesus is testified in these two words, Jesus wept. He knew who he was. He knew by faith that he was bringing life to conquer death. But in his humanity, he bore the loss of his friend. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him? Phileo." They didn't recognize the depth of what he was experiencing. Even. But some of them said, "Could not he have opened the eyes of the blind man? He who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying." So basically, dude, couldn't you have healed him? Jesus once more, not happy. Deeply moved. He was angered. I've had enough. Roll away the stone. Lazarus, come out. Now, he didn't pray some huge, he did pray. He basically said, Lord, you've always heard me, but to prove that you hear me, show these people how wrong their perspective is. Lazarus, get up and let's go fishing. He didn't say that. He did say, Lazarus, come out. But, you know, I like fishing. No, he was going to see his friend. You know, and they're like, oh, no, he's going to stink and all these types of things. You know, God doesn't mind our stench. No, I'm going to tell you, God doesn't mind our stench. He doesn't mind that sometimes we get lost in this battle of this worldly, earthly, physical, natural, temporal perspective. All he does is bring in the supernatural, the eternal, the heavenly, the spiritual perspective. He always brings life when we're facing death. So another story, Garden of Gethsemane. Then Jesus went, Matthew 26:36, with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Here, same words in English, totally different meaning. Lupeo is grieved to be in heaviness, sorrowful, deep emotional pain. And the troubled word is adamoneo, full of heaviness, troubled of the mind. So his head's hurting and his heart's hurting. I don't know if you've ever been in that place. Some of you might be in that place today. He understands. He's experienced everything you've experienced. He was in anguish. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. So many suicides. Even in the house of the Lord, the people of God, they can't bear the weight of what they're experiencing because they're lost in a perspective that isn't theirs. They've been set free and delivered from that perspective, but they're losing the battle. What's he do? He says, God, he prays, take this cup from me. Yet, not as I will, but your will be done. And three times this happens. See, the earthly perspective, the physical perspective, the battle of this temporal perspective is get me out of this. I can't deal with it. I can't cope. It's too much for me. Just seeing Lisa, what she did to me, I can't take it. Well, that's how some of us act. Jesus understands. Except his relationship's with God and he's talking. And he has to come to the point that I'm not going to succumb to that perspective. Your will be done. He understands your pain. He understands your circumstance. Another story. Matthew 27:45. From noon until 3 PM, darkness came over all the land. About 3 PM, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? The word there is paralupus. It's intensely sad. A weight so heavy that it overshadows every emotion and perception. See, it is a cry of distress that I'm alone. I've been abandoned. So So many of us walk through life and we feel this. Jesus understands. You're not going to a Savior that doesn't understand. And he has more than head knowledge of it. He has experienced it physically, emotionally, mentally. So what does that make him? It makes him just like us. But he knew his temporal suffering had an eternal reward. And he could do this because of the joy set before him. You. When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He is calling Elijah." Immediately one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with white vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. So you have to understand the agony he was going through now. It wasn't a physical agony. The horrific beating had already taken place. Trust me, his body was numb. He wasn't feeling that. He was feeling, "I can't find the presence of my Father. I know he'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. But I can't find it. Somehow I've stepped out of that place of his presence and I can't find peace." And he cried out. He understands your pain. He understands the depth of your sorrow. Because he understands you have hope. 1 Thessalonians 1:3. Love this passage of scripture. We spent, I don't know, 6 months on this passage of scripture a few years back. It says, "We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." See, hope is strengthened because Jesus understands. Because Jesus was human. He knows, he understands everything we'll ever experience. Everything we'll ever think. Everything we ever feel. He understands our pain. He understands our sorrow. He understands our loss. He understands fear, apprehension, our nervousness, our anger, our frustration, our distress, our desperation, our depression. He understands it all. But in it, because he understands, you have a living hope. He carried the weight of it all. Everything that the world could possibly bring upon you, he's carried, and it led him to this. John 16:33. "I've told you those things so that in me you may have peace in this world." There's all kinds of trouble. I know it. I've experienced it. I've felt it in every way imaginable. Anything you will ever bear, I've already borne. And take note, I've overcome the world. You don't get the message. Whatever you're going through today, he knows. He's been there. He's done that. He's overcome. He's saying, "Take my hand. Let's go fishing. Rise above it." See, he has overcome so that we have the promise that we can overcome. 1 John 5:4 says, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world." I want you to get the perspective here. This is a heavenly perspective. This is an eternal perspective. This is kingdom mindset talking here. You got to understand the new creation you are. Everyone born of God. Everyone that's a new creation. Everyone, that includes you. Everyone overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Remember, I said Jesus, immediately upon hearing of the trouble, prophesied faith. Through faith, he prophesied life. Immediately. Through that whole story, all you've seen is faith. Jesus responding to a life's problems in faith. Your victory is in you responding in faith. So, coming down the home stretch, I'm going to close with this scripture. 1 Peter 2, verse 24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. I want you to stand with me. See, this word, aiomai, to heal, means to make whole. He wasn't talking about just your cold or your physical pain. He was talking about you completely being whole. Spirit, soul, body. He was talking about bringing comfort to your pain. Turning your mourning to dancing. Turning grief to joy. Everything you're experiencing from a worldly perspective, he's talking about bringing heaven to fulfill it. Heaven to override it. Heaven to overcome it so that you can walk victorious in this temporal life. See, you have a hope today, regardless of how you feel, regardless of how you're thinking, regardless of the heaviness of life, regardless of what circumstance you might be facing tomorrow or today or the next week, what pain, what agony, what anguish, doesn't matter how bad it is, he understands because he's experienced it and he's overcome it. And he's given you this promise that if you'll just hold his hand through it, you'll overcome it. Hallelujah. You have this hope in the fact that Jesus wept. The truth of his humanity has given us this hope to live in this life as he is, overcoming, victorious, whole, and complete to everything that this world throws at us, because this world is anything but whole and complete. So here's what I'm going to ask of you. I don't know what you want to exchange today, but it's time the children of God exchange the things of this world for the things of his world. It's time we let go of the chains he's already set us free from and no longer pick them up and not accept it and not go by our thoughts or feelings or all the depths of emotion that we struggle with. And just walk in faith with who he is and what he said and what he has done. And let him live through us. So the altars are open. And I don't want anyone to leave. I want you to find a place and make an exchange with him who has set you free. Because in him, you have this living hope. Jesus wept. Heavenly Father, bring your word to life for your people. That they understand the deliverance that you've already given them, the freedom that you've already given them, the chains that you've already broken, how they can live absolutely in an overcoming, victorious way in this life. And Lord, lay on their heart and mind right now the thing that you want to exchange with them. That you will take their pain, you will take their suffering, you'll take their sorrow, you'll take every weight that's been holding them back, God, and you'll exchange it. You'll exchange it for joy. You'll exchange it for your love. You'll exchange it for strength. God, give them revelation now on what you'd like to exchange with them as they seek your face and they leave this place knowing their Heavenly Father has favored them and blessed them with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, Lord. They are complete in you because you've made it so, because you are their living hope. Father, empower them to take that hope to all those around. Let them have testimonies this week of people that will tell them there's only one way. And Jesus, you wept to make a way. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Find a place.